Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, and grandparents. I'm so glad you're my family. Oh, I'm so glad.
Marcia Cook from the World of Ink, and this is the Family Matters show. And for those of you that have heard me three times a week, I had a good story is a good story, and then we had our What a Success, We Have World of Ink special. And Virginia and I are co-hosting together. Hi, Virginia.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, you're there. Okay, we have a really great guest on today, and she's had a really busy day today. She's at a book signing, and her name is Ingrid Ben Cosme, and she's expecting her baby in 2 weeks, and she has 4 kids. We've already found all of this out, so we're telling you all of this. And this is her book is about early childhood tooth loss, and it's an interactive book, and she's been having very good success with it, and that's a good thing. She was at Lord & Taylor, and they were loving it. So today we have her on the show, and we're going to talk about dental health. And hi, Virginia, how are you? So let's talk together. You here?
I'm here. I'll let you talk. Well,
okay. All right. I know I can talk. We know that. All right. We're going to bring out Ingrid. Hi, Ingrid.
How are you? Great.
We're good. And so you had a busy day today.
Very busy. I'm very happy to be here and to talk to you ladies. This is very exciting.
So when you went to the book signing, did they ask you to, what did they ask you? Did they ask you questions today or, you know?
Yes.
Because
well, there was a radio
book,
station.
Yes.
There was a radio station there, and so they asked questions about the book and how the whole process works and how the whole set works, and I read to some children, and it was a lot of fun. We always get really great feedback every time that we have readings, so there's lots of fun to do.
Okay, so you're in New York, and a lot of people are having trouble getting readings. So you went to libraries also, or where else are you getting readings?
I've gone to some bookstores for readings, children's bookstores mainly. There's also a lot of different things in the works right now. There'll be probably a reading at FAO Schwartz in the summer and the Toys R Us Marquee store. So there's a lot of things going on. Newspaper
and you have
interviews.
You have a PR firm helping you.
I have a publicist that's helping me. Yes.
This is great. I mean, because this is really very good. I mean, you know, because it is so hard to get anywhere these days. And
absolutely.
With marketing, if you don't market it, so your publicist, she probably has handled other children's books before, most likely, because she's getting you in the right places. So that's a good
yes.
thing.
Yes. We've had such great reception. We've been really lucky, and, you know, people are loving the product, and it's making it easy for us to get into these major retailers, which is absolutely amazing.
Okay, so why don't you tell everybody what the product is and how you came about doing this, because everybody's curious.
Sure. The name of it is Teeth Fairies, A Baby Teeth Tradition, and it's a interactive book and doll set, and it's a modern twist on the tradition of the Tooth Fairy. So basically, I wrote it when my daughter got her first loose tooth. I was hoping to find something fun, something fresh and new to do with her, and I was stunned not to be able to find anything. So I was a teacher for many years, and writing stories and poems came very naturally to me. So I wrote something up for her, and I started the concept with her, and she loved it. So basically, when a child gets a loose tooth, a fairy, the head tooth fairy assigns a special fairy for every boy and girl and sends them down to watch over kids, comfort them, make sure that they brush, floss, and eat healthy. And she reports back to the head tooth fairy every night, and then kids need to find her every morning when they wake up. She pops up in different places. And when that tooth finally falls out, she has a little crown and a pocket in her crown, and the kids put the tooth in the crown, and she becomes an official tooth fairy. And so she comes back every time kids have a loose tooth, and there's no more trying to get the tooth from under the pillow. Wherever the tooth fairy was last, that's where she leaves a surprise for kids.
Oh, okay.
And the book is a keepsake, so there's places where you can write down details about what the kids named the fairy, surprises she left, the date, and the tooth that fell out, and they can personalize the book as well.
Oh, so every time, that's good. So it can be, right, so it's, you put your name in, whatever the child's name in, right?
Yes, front, the end papers of the book have jars filled with very popular names. So kids might be able to, a lot of kids have fun trying to find their name on one of the jars. But if their name is not on the jar, there are pages throughout the book where they can write their own name in and personalize the whole set and make it their own.
Well, so that's what happens when you get an idea and there's nobody else that has had that idea, because, you know, that's a popular, I mean, every kid, that's really, every kid loses their teeth. So, I mean,
right.
For everyone. It doesn't matter.
Sure. I mean, I was shocked. I never expected that I wouldn't find something on the market already when I was looking for my own daughter. So, you know, I started the concept with her, and she loved it, and she started to share it with her friends. And then suddenly parents were asking me where I got the set with the tooth fairy, because their daughter was talking about it and wants one. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is something that I have to do. And that's pretty much how it came to be.
That's a really, really cute idea. Now, because I know from all the information that we were sent and everything, that, you know, to make it, you know, the whole process of losing teeth exciting and stuff, have you gone out and talked about, like, dental hygiene or the importance of kids getting in and seeing a dentist and stuff like that? Because I think I saw something mentioned about that in the information that was sent from your publicist, but I can't remember.
Yeah. We've had pediatric dentists, lots of endorsements from pediatric dentists, and as a matter of fact,
good.
One of the readings that I did with a pediatric dentist, and so after I did the reading, he talked about dental health. He showed kids how to brush and how to floss with this giant dinosaur with big teeth toy, a puppet, and so that's pretty much, I mean, we've been having such great feedback from dentists.
It's good when they go to a pediatric dentist in a lot of ways, because pediatric dentists know all the right questions. Sometimes a regular dentist, it's not that they just don't have time to sit there and talk to the child. And sometimes, you know, it's just in and out. But a pediatric they know what to expect, because it's not the greatest experience for some kids. And and if they have a good experience at the beginning, they won't be afraid every time
they have to go. Absolutely. And one of the tips that one of the dentists that we've teamed up with had said that it's a great idea to have something that comforts the child when they go to the dentist. So the child's personal tooth fairy, they can write a letter to their fairy if they have a dentist appointment and she comes for special occasions, and, you know, we'll go with them to the dentist so that they're at ease and not nervous about it or anything, because it can be somewhat traumatic for some children, and the doll is very helpful for that as well.
Yeah, are you going to branch out and do other dolls for other things for kids? Or
yes.
Do you have an idea?
Well, we launched with the female tooth fairy first, but in the book, the illustrations, there will be a boy version. There will be different ethnicities. So that's all in the works. That will be coming soon.
Because
the next
everybody
one will probably
thinks,
be a boy.
He probably thinks tooth fairy. Yeah, that would, because a lot of times you would think it's like, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz, there's a fairy. You know what I mean? So I
right.
guess it depends what each kid thinks what their fairy looks like. You know what I mean? You just might have their own opinion of what, you know.
A lot
but
of
I think it wouldn't
a
matter.
Lot of the research that
matter,
I have seen. Sorry?
Would it matter though? I mean, if it's, you know, they, it's just the tooth. You know, I mean. Would one universal one not be enough, though? I mean, you need to have others?
I don't think so. There have been lots of boys who have
either.
The set.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
people believe that the tooth fairy is female, so that's why
right.
we started
yeah.
with that one.
Right.
But,
that's what I would think.
You know.
Yeah.
some
I think
people,
it's kind of,
you know,
in everybody's
want a
mind
version.
It's a tooth fairy. Right. But
yes.
I think, you know, when you really, I think everybody seemed to grow up fine knowing that it's a tooth fairy and you think it's
female,
the woman, I guess.
Correct,
yes,
correct,
right.
Correct. But yes, we figured we'll put, you know, a boy one out there and maybe it will appear to, you know, parents who want to buy a set for our son and they don't want to get
yeah.
them a female doll. So we're going to do
yeah.
that as well.
Yeah, I worked in a pediatric office for many, many years. I was lab tech. So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's all what they get used to.
Yes,
so I think that, you
absolutely.
Know, and I think there's very few people that have grown up thinking any other way until you know
yes,
you're going to have
agree.
A boy. One. Right, I think. So
I
think
agree.
You're going to do fine with this one, right, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, yes. We want to appeal to everybody, so that's why we thought, well, you know, we'll start with the female and then we'll put out other ones and whatever children like best, that's the one they can go with.
So you said you started from scratch. So do you want, because we have a lot of listeners that want to, you know, do their own books and whatever. How did you initially got the idea, then what steps did you take?
Yeah, well, first I got the idea and I wrote the poem and I you know, tried the whole concept with my daughter and she loved it. And when I couldn't find anything, I came home and I started to do lots and lots of research to see if there was anything else that maybe I just wasn't finding. And I really was not finding anything. And so the next step was we got a lawyer to sort of look at copyrights and, you know, trademarks and things that of pre-existing things. And when we saw that there was sort of a void in that area, we just completely decided to go for it. So I started to research companies, manufacturers, things that I had never really done before, but it
right.
was a tremendous learning experience, and that's pretty much how, you know, different people with recommendations
so
or,
you had
you
an
know,
editor, you had an editor. Who edited? Did you edit it? Or
no, I had an editor look at it just to, you know,
right. Check it
make
over.
Corrections on, you know, grammatical corrections and that sort of thing if needed, and yeah, that's how we did that.
And
what,
so you,
what was the process? I'm curious because I used to work
yeah.
in retail and you know have worked in many different facets of the retail business. So what was it like trying to find somebody to do the doll for you? Because I know there's a lot of companies out there, but getting
right.
somebody to do a custom doll to look like the fairy in your book, was that a hard process to find somebody to do a doll for you?
Well, you know what? I have an extensive library here from when I was a teacher and just from collecting books from for my kids. So I started looking in some of the picture books there, and I started to look at, you know, companies that printed books, and from there, the ones that I liked, some of the books, the picture books that I loved, I started to look at the companies that were producing those books, and then other companies that I liked, and I just reached out to people. I started writing and contacting them, and that's pretty much how I started to get information about companies that did this sort of thing, because, yeah, it wasn't an easy process to find someone that was the right fit to create the doll that would match the illustrations in the book. So that was quite a challenge, but when we found someone, they were, you know, it was a long process, but it paid off and they got it right.
So how many did you have to run? How many dolls did you have to run to at the beginning?
It's an investment for sure. Most of them, when you have a company that you hire to manufacture, they have a minimum. So we started
right.
with 5,000, which is pretty much the norm
right.
for
yeah.
most publishing companies also. And thankfully, you know, we've been doing well. They've been selling.
That's good. No, right, because, you know, a lot of times, right, because, you know, Virginia and I both, we know this, and this is what's happening now. To get things done right, you really have to pay for things. I think,
absolutely.
You know, everybody's looking for the way not to pay for things, but you know what? You can't get it right unless you pay. It's editing, and it's illustrations, and it's finding
absolutely.
The right person. And, you know, even if you go to a small publisher, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy with it. So you have to
right.
be happy with everything, and sometimes it does cost money. So, you know, that's why I'm wondering, because, you know, it's a great, when you can have a manufacturer do that, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when you have marketing and you can market it all together, that's really good.
Absolutely.
I mean,
we've had, I mean, we knew that this was going to be an investment going into it, and thankfully my husband is the one that handles most of the business aspect of everything, so he's been really instrumental in this. But, you know, you have to sit down with your partner and create some kind of game plan, and, you know, this was an idea that I just knew it was a good one, and if you feel that strongly about something, you just have to go for it, and it was that time for me.
Yeah, I think with children books in general, like Virginia and I both know, it's very difficult to get the, especially a new one. And but when you have marketing attached to it, and when you have like the doll, this is really a good thing because, you know, it's actually not a doll because it's a character. You know, I mean,
right?
I guess that's what you're calling it. Would you call it a character? Because that's probably better, a character in the book.
Yes. Yeah, and that was very important to me. I wanted it to represent the character in the book. I mean, kids get to name the it's meant to be personalized, so kids will name the doll when they get it.
It's really good.
But it is a character from the story. It's something that should be recognizable. So, yeah, it needed to be close to what the illustrations were in the book.
I'm getting to believe with all, go ahead, Virginia. Then I'll
I was going
to
say,
go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Marcia, because you're on that same topic. I was going to switch topics on it.
No, I just was going to say, because, you know, it's so hard to market, and I think what you're saying is right. And I think, like, in my own books, I think, you know, it just came out 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever they came out, and then I do other things. But when you really have to focus on something, I'm thinking this is a genuine problem now for myself and other people, because you just can't go out and do it. You have to really focus and have a plan. And
absolutely,
if it's not the right plan, it doesn't work. And I think what everybody is thinking, you know, you blame it on the publisher, this one, that one. And, you know, that's not about self-publishing and doing it yourself. It's about the idea. Because people think if they go and, you know, it's a big publisher, it's going to be. But you have to have a plan. And you had a plan, and financially you could afford this, because that's the problem. Financially, if you can't afford it, it can't get done right. And if you do
it
it doesn't work that well.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. And you have to align yourself with the right people. You have to, you know, sort of do your due diligence and align yourself with the right people to work with, the ones that, you know, are in sync with your vision and what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that once you find those people, it's just, you know, a really great combination, and it really helps to make it successful.
Yeah. Virginia, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I want to kind of talk about the website, because you have a website, teethfairies.com, and I love it because you have, you know, not just the typical About Us page and, you know, here's how you can buy the box set, and here's my press information. I mean, you have a section for parents, you have a section on dental health. Was that something you wanted to do, or did you work with somebody who has a background on websites? Because, I mean, most authors just do the typical, you know, about me, about the book, you know, maybe have, like, where fans can kind of talk about, you know, if it's a series or, you know, like how yours is an interactive book. But you've gone, you know, a few extra steps and have added information to really help parents. So I was just, you know, I was looking around on it last night, and I was really impressed with just the for parents section. I mean, it's got a lot of information in there.
Thank you.
The
I really
page,
appreciate
you,
you saying
flying,
that.
You know, you have the animate, the things moving, and you also have, you know, I mean, that's really the truth, you know, and somebody worked very hard on this. So did you hire somebody to do this?
Yes, I thank you so much for saying that. We put a lot of thought into the website and what we wanted to accomplish with it. And yes, we wanted it to appeal to children and to parents. There's still a lot more things in the works for the website. We plan on putting a lot more games and apps for children on it. But yeah, the website was its own entity, and we had, you know, lots of ideas of what we wanted to incorporate, not just, you know, information about the book, but we wanted it to be some place where kids can go and play, where parents can get helpful information.
Do they come?
Sorry?
Are kids coming in? Are kids coming in and, is it ready to have, I mean, are kids coming in? Do you tell the parents
that
they can go in on the website?
There are some kids coming in right now. There are a few links that children can print coloring pages. There's a maze. There's a few games for kids to play on there right now, but we plan on rolling that out and making a lot more games available
it's a hard
for
process.
Kids.
That's
yeah,
hard.
It takes
you know,
some time.
It's not easy. Yes.
But we did. We had a web team working on it, And yeah, it really, that was a whole separate part of it. We don't want it to be just, it's not just a book and doll set. I mean, it's a whole experience, an interactive experience on the web as well.
Yeah. So it's a very focused campaign is what you're doing right now. And I think so, then this could be the answer to why people's books aren't selling as well, because it's not focused and not a whole campaign. And unfortunately, people can't afford all those things. However, I think because you've done, like Virginia said, you've done some very different things, I think it's a very good idea to do that, you know, and you focus it. See, I think a lot of us, like I also write, like, you know, romance books and things. I think it's really difficult when you do that. So I think if you're focused on children's, then you focus on children's. If you focus on your other books, then you have to leave your children's, because it's a different way of thinking and it can't work the same.
Yeah, I mean, we want to make it a whole experience, not just, you know, the book. Yeah. We're trying to make it a whole digital experience as well. So that's why, you know, we paid a lot of attention to creating, you know, a fun interactive website for kids and a place where parents are feeling their kids are going to see content that is going to be educational and fun, and they're not going to have to worry about it. So those were things that were important to us.
Well, and I love how Virginia, it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Honestly, what grabbed me was the fact it is so engaging. You know, I really love that about it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see the illustrations animated, and it's just very cute. It's a preview, basically, of what the book, a preview of the book. It has a couple of pages of what's inside the book, and it's sort of supposed to be like a trailer to a movie, sort of get you interested, and then, you know, maybe want you to go to the next level and get the book. So there's lots of things going on.
No, I think that's true. Yeah, because it is hard for people to click the button and say, I'm going to buy it, because they're looking and, you know, they're deciding. And, you know, that's why with children's books, you definitely have to go out. I mean, no matter, there's no two ways about it. It does not sell well. It sells much better when you are out with kids and with parents. Because on the web, it's not like, you know, the ebook doesn't work as well as people would like it to work for kids, because it's just not happening. Parents want the kids to hold the book and or have the experience. And your book is like an experience.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so happy that to hear you say that, because I mean those were some of our goals. Those were some of the things that we were hoping to accomplish. And it's great to hear hear that you got that.
Well, we both do children's books, but we know that there are issues with children's books. Virginia and I talk about it a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I can see the difference, and it is. And sometimes people are, you know, they give up too fast.
Yeah.
And so I think you've worked this out where you just didn't throw it out, and there you have a book.
Yeah.
Experience.
No,
you have to really think about it.
Sure. I mean, we definitely wanted, you know, we put the time in. It was something that, you know, I really believed was going to work. And so we did not cut corners. We wanted to produce something that we were all proud of. And after all, I wrote this for my own children. So I wanted it to be something special. And I want it to be something special for all children.
Yeah. See, it's interesting because, you know, there's so many issues with children's books these days, and we talk about it all the time. But I think the answer is that without having any financial help or even going to marketing people, I think it's just going to be like everybody else's, and that's why they're having issues. You know,
It's definitely hard to get started. Yeah. And even, you know, going through a traditional publishing company, I think it's discouraging for a lot of people. But they have no other choice because of the expense. So, I mean, I did consider going down that road, but I guess the pros outweighed the cons, and we, you know, figured, you know, if they're able to accomplish this and do this with a little hard work and dedication, I think that we're able to do it as well. So it just made sense.
Yeah. See, because a traditional publisher doesn't spend the time like this, like you're spending on this. You know, I think it would be nice Virginia and I know that they don't have campaigns for marketing like they used to.
Right.
So people are on their own. You'd be on your own anyways. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but thankfully it's paid off so far, and you know, we've gotten very warm reception with the book, and so far we're really happy with the results, and you know, it's really exciting to see it all come together.
What's some of the you know, things that parents have come in and said to you, you know, as you've been out and talking about the book and about the importance of, you know, helping kids not be afraid when they lose their teeth, and just, you know, make sure that they're being healthy about their dental hygiene and all of that kind of stuff? I mean, what's been some of the feedback you've been hearing?
One of the major things that I've been hearing is how they don't have to urge them constantly to go brush your teeth before bed. That's one of the big ones, and that one was
really
a big
good.
One for me, too. Because now it's not the parent nagging for them to go brush their teeth. This fairy is watching, and she's going to, you know, go back and tell the head tooth fairy, and, you know, that's going to affect the surprise you're going to get. So they want to impress the fairy. They want to show her what a good job they're doing brushing their teeth and taking care and trying healthy foods. So some of that pressure is
it
off
matters.
The parents.
Yeah.
It's
it
sort of shifted
matter,
onto the fairy.
Because when you when your teeth are in bad shape, your whole body's in bad shape. I mean, you're not
absolutely.
As well as you. So I think that's what a good message. Because I think kids, if they start young, they'll get the message, and then maybe it'll carry through all the way through for their adulthood.
Definitely. My daughter had so many questions about the tooth fairy when she was getting close to the age of starting to get loose teeth. She just, you know, wanted to know so many things. She was a little bit nervous about the whole process, and I think having the doll with the book made it something more tangible. That she was just such a mysterious. She knew that there was a tooth fairy, but wanted to know what she looked like. She never got to see her. She comes at night while she's asleep. So giving her something to identify with the tooth fairy and making it a source of comfort for her was very, very beneficial. And again, I didn't have to constantly repeat, it's time to go brush your teeth. I know many parents have to deal with that.
Yeah, what does the tooth fairy say about those little ones that help themselves to pulling out their teeth when it's very near to, you know, a lot of kids do that. When they're near coming out, they give themselves a little pull. They pull it themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The tooth should fall out on their own. I don't think that they need to. I remember when I was a kid. I remember the tie, the dental floss around it, the doorknob, the door. I don't think that at this now. No, I it will fall off
I just
on their
people,
own.
I just don't even know if they think
apple.
About dental floss. Right? I don't even think dental floss. I know some kids just like pull it. They think it's going to come out, and it does pretty much sometimes. But not all. It's got to be really ready.
Oh, yeah.
Then they come holding it in their hand. Look at that.
I know. My daughter lost one in an apple, pretty much. She took a bite of the apple, and there came the tooth. So, yeah, having to pull it or remove it, I don't ever say that. I don't want to scare anybody.
No, I know that. No, that's right. No, but usually they come out themselves. I mean, they just
Yes. And it's okay. Most of the dentists that I've spoken to have said, you know, there's really no need to pull it. It will fall off on its own.
When the other tooth is coming behind,
it will just fall out.
But you know how kids are. They want it done in, like, now. I feel like it's now. And a lot of them, they do it because they want the tooth fairy to come. You know, it's
they want that prize.
I know.
The prize is a big deal. But that's been one of the major questions. That's been one of the most of the feedback that I've gotten from parents is how, you know, they think it's so great that they the pressure is off of them for the dental health. I mean, their kids are brushing their teeth on their own. So that's been one of the major things that most parents have mentioned to me at readings and signings and notes.
That's good. Very good.
Yeah.
Have you guys thought about, because you talked about, you know, the kids writing the note to the tooth fairy, and obviously parents are writing you, later on your website, having where the kids can interact with the tooth fairy on your site?
Right. Right. So I said in the site, I mentioned how there are exceptions to the rule. Basically, the tooth fairy comes when they have a loose tooth, but there are exceptions to the rules, of course. And that is, for example, if they have a dentist appointment and they're worried about going or nervous, they can write a letter to their tooth fairy and she can get special permission and come and spend a few days while they go to the dentist and just to keep them company. I had to deal with that with my daughter when when the tooth fell out and her fairy was going back to Tooth Fairyland. My daughter was a little upset about that. And so I encouraged her to write letters to the Tooth Fairy and, you know, said, well, maybe she can come back and, you know, visit you for a little while if you miss her. And if you want to go to the dentist or if you have an appointment that you need her to be there for you. And she started to do that. She started writing letters, I want you to come back, and the fairy would appear and keep her company for a few days, and then she would be okay with her leaving because she knew that if she wrote a letter, she would be back.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's and it's, you know, also...
I mean, you have
a
good idea. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You have a good idea. I mean,
you
know, I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes people, they have an idea and they don't really act on it. So,
right.
You know, I think that's a good thing. I mean, for me, I have so many ideas. If I acted, I'm going to be insane. But I think that it's important to do that. I'm beginning to learn that I think that you have an idea and you have to follow through with the idea. And don't, you know... You know, our message, Virginia and I, both of us, is to not give up on things, and we don't ever give up. But the thing is, we don't always, people don't always follow through. And I think that seeing that you follow through with this whole concept is what's making it a success. It's just not, you know, you put a doll out there, you know, or a character. But I think that when you do a character and you can, if the kids like what's happening to you, if they like the character, you know, female or male, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean,
it doesn't have to be gender.
Yes,
always gender.
I
it
agree.
It could just be someone they trust.
Yeah. I've had lots of ideas before as well in the past, but I don't know, when you find the one that's special to you and you just have a feeling about it, then I think it's important to go for it and not let it just, you know, sort of an idea that comes and goes. If you feel strongly about it, I think it's important to move forward
that's
on it.
So I think that this is really a good example of what can happen when you do this, because I think that a lot of people think when they publish a book and they're the publisher of it, they don't really feel that it can be successful, and that's really not the case. It's about the idea and the story and the focusing, and it's not always because a big publisher didn't pick them up, or a lot of people now, they're not even going to big publishers because they don't even bother. It takes too long. I mean,
right.
It could take 3 to 4 years to get things really going good.
Right.
You know, and that's a long time. You
absolutely.
Know, and that's the thing, you know. That's why you did an interesting concept here.
Yeah, you have to go with what works best for you and you know, if you have the drive and you have, you know, the desire to make it work, then I think you can make that happen. You just have to
the
go
illustrator
for it.
That now the illustrator that you used an illustrator, used an editor,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then you had a printing, you know, a publishing company print your just the printing, right? Or did you go just a printer, or did you have, you know, like I go to Fidelity Publishing, she puts everything together for me to make it look good.
Yes, I found I visited and researched different publishing, not publishing, printers, manufacturers.
Printers.
And when I found the right fit, we went ahead with that. We were looking at different companies that did different aspects. Some, you know, because it wasn't an easy process because it's not just a book. It's a book,
right.
And we had to produce the box, and we had to produce the doll. So that was three different elements that we had to produce. So that was a little bit tricky at first, finding someone, you know, three different companies that were going to manage this, or if we could find one company that was able to handle all three. Even when we were thinking about going the traditional publishing company route, there's not that many that will produce all of those products. It's either just the book or...
Yeah.
So they don't. A lot of times they don't want to be bothered because it's just too much work.
It's
so that was
work,
a bit challenging at first.
And they don't want to spend, unfortunately, they don't spend sometimes a lot of money on people that are newer authors, and that's which is why a lot of their stuff is, you know, it's not that it's stale, it's just that that's why a lot of parents are buying older books, because they don't seem to like a lot of the newer books, because there's not as much time spent in creating what you're creating, the experience. You know, I think years ago when they published the book, they really published it and they really went out with that book. I mean, they did a lot.
But, yes, we did, you know, identify a company that was able to help. And you know, if they weren't able to produce one thing, they outsourced to, you know, other companies that they knew that were able to sort of put everything together for us. And, all of it, again, a lot of research to identify these companies, and the same with the illustrator, you know, finding the right person that, you know, met the vision that you had. It was a long process, and it was a learning process and a fun process. Sometimes it was a little challenging, but
it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
By no means easy, but worth
it. You know, while you're talking, I mean, it seems, you know, do you ever watch Shark Tank, how they
I love Shark Tank.
Yes, okay. So what they do is, I mean, you have thought, a lot of people come there too early, they say, because they have an idea and they don't follow through, and they don't, like you have the manufacturers of everything, and that's what people need, you know, and people go to Shark Tank because they want their people to do it. And they don't like it when they do that. They like it when they have everything in place.
They need those connections. And, I mean, it's just a matter of, you have to put a little elbow grease into it, I guess, and do the work. I mean, we did all the footwork and identified all of the, you know, the key components, and then, you know, just brought it all together. But it's difficult. It's a difficult process to find, especially if that's not your field of expertise. That's not what you did for a living. It's a challenge, but, you know, if you want it to work and you want to, you know, you can do it. It just takes work.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work, and that's what they say in Shark Tank. They go back and do the work and come back. Because they don't do the work.
Yes.
And because it does take work. You know, and, you know, like a lot of people don't realize, even writing a book or whatever, they think it just doesn't come out of the air. It takes time.
Right.
You know, and because a lot of people see people out there now, they're coming out with a book a month, which is absolutely, I have no idea how they do it. You can't, I don't know, to get your characters and everything. And, you know, last night we had a filmmaker, she produces, directs, and she had about women, it was Quest for Honor. And it took her a long time to get her documentary out, and people think that they can just do something, but you can't. And Virginia and I had a show Monday afternoon where they had, when we were talking about that with Alejandro, he was talking about the fact that when he wrote his script, it took 3 years. So I think one of the problems, it takes time. And I think one of the problems that we see now is that everybody wants it done like in a minute, and you can't.
Yeah. No, it was a process.
Yeah.
It was a process. It took a while. And, I mean, you find inspiration and ideas from your life, and if they're, you know, something that you feel strongly about, then you make it work. But it's by no means a simple process. It just, you have to be determined and decide that this is what you want to do, and, you know, make a plan and then just see it through.
So what's next for you? You're having a baby.
Yes, I'm having a baby. I'm due in about 2 weeks. I feel like I'm ready to go now.
Yeah, we know that.
But it's all exciting things. It's all good things.
Very
many
exciting
blessings. And then, yes, I'm definitely planning some follow-ups to the book. I am Latino, so I would love to maybe do a Spanish version of the book.
That'd be great.
The male
that'd
version
great
of the fairy. So, there's lots of different things that we're talking about right now, and
that's a good thing. That really is a good thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because my kids were really into the Elf on the Shelf. They got that like 2 years ago. I don't know if you've ever seen that little book and
yes.
gift set. Okay. Have you guys thought about doing any, like, little short movies like they did with the fairy, with the tooth fairies and stuff? Because, I mean, I would see that being popular.
I would love to, and we're actually, you know, we were talking to a company that would maybe produce some short clips for social media, to put on social media, little short movie clips. Mm-hmm. But I would love to do something further down the road, like an animated show with Teeth Fairies. I think that would be a dream come true. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, because I just see, and that was one of the things too that really grabbed my attention when we were contacted, because like I said my kids, you know, 2 years ago their grandma sent them the Elf on the Shelf,
right,
as a gift. So when I saw yours, I was like, that was the first thing that went through my mind, was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
my girls are gonna love
a
this.
Movie. Yeah, no, I would
yeah.
love to.
Yeah.
I would love to do a movie. No, that would be fantastic. Maybe somewhere down the road it will happen. It will keep you posted.
Yeah, no, yeah, right. Right. Because and having it in different languages is certainly, because you can translate it. That's the problem, because when people need to have translators, that becomes expensive sometimes because they can't
translate.
Oh,
goodness, yes.
Yeah, but you can do that, so that would be great.
Yeah, I have relatives that have, already been like, where is the Spanish version of this book? So I'm going to have to work on that soon. But, yeah, it's been really, you know, a fun process, and you know, I've learned so much throughout, and I'm just really so grateful that it's being so well received. It's a blessing. But yeah, we have
lots
going on.
Hopefully you'll come back. You'll come back when you want to talk about some other things that you are having. That would be great.
I would love to.
After the baby, right, so you'll come back.
Yes.
And tell us how everything is going, because you know, I know you're probably exhausted already because you had today at Lord and Taylor. So.
Yes, I'm okay, actually. I'm a trooper.
Oh, you are good. Okay, then you want to give your website and everything for...
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
The website is teethfairies.com, and the book and doll set is available at Amazon on our website. It's also available at Nordstrom. It will be available soon at FAO Schwartz, at Toys R Us, the marquee store.
Great.
And, yeah, there's also at other fine retailers locally. It's in a few different bookstores, and it will be coming soon to Barnes & Noble.
Well, that'd be great. You know what? After the baby, we're starting a new show where we're going to be talking about women in business and what it takes and everything. So maybe you'll come back in a couple months, and you'll talk about that, because strong women in business, because there's a lot of women that have ideas, but they just don't do them. So
absolutely. I would love to. I would love
okay.
to. Thank
well,
you.
Yes. Good. All right. Well, good luck on the baby. And,
thank you very much,
we have,
ladies.
We have
it was a pleasure
up.
Speaking
right.
with you.
Same here.
Thank yes. you.
Bye-bye.
And now that the show's over, well, now we've had you on the show, Ingrid, because I've been holding, I was sent the box set. I've been holding it in the corner.
Oh, good.
I couldn't see it. But now I was like, until the show's over, you guys can't. They don't even know I have it, so I have a 5-year-old who hasn't lost
oh, nice.
A tooth yet.
Perfect
so
age.
So she will be getting that soon now.
Oh, fantastic.
I can give it
well,
up.
Yes, please let me know how she what she thinks, and like us on Facebook if she likes it.
I will.
And, that would be fantastic. I can't wait to hear the feedback.
Yeah, I
okay, you're on, what's the Facebook? You're on Facebook, too? All right, you're on Facebook.
Yes, we're on Facebook, we're on Pinterest, we're on Instagram, and it's if you go to the website, teethfairies.com, there are links
on
page
yeah.
where
yeah.
you can where you can go. It
right.
will take you directly to the Facebook and Twitter.
And we have it on
all that.
We have it on our World for Ink. On World of Ink, we have it on the show.
Yeah, we
so
have it.
It'll be all
fantastic. So I hope that you'll like us on our page.
Okay, we will. We'll
do. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And our
thank
welcome.
You, and I'll do
you're
the same for you guys. You were great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Enjoy the evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Virginia. Okay.
Yep. I'm still here.
Hello. Yeah, we should talk
I'm
about
here.
Our shows. I did. You know, I knew that she was probably going to be tired. You know, because she was at that
way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pregnant and doing all this.
Baby.
Oh, my goodness. Kudos to her. And she already has other children.
I know.
I can barely manage my two in the house. And one's off to college.
Yeah, she was good. But it does show you, this is the thing. you know what, you have a plan and you have to execute it, but you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and
well, she's got it down. I mean, because,
yeah.
And I mean, don't get me wrong for children's rights. I mean, it's fine to write books that are just fun for kids, you know, picture books, chapter books, early readers,
yeah.
You know, novels, whatever. I mean, there are series like that out there and just people who do that. And we enjoy those books. But, you know, if you are going to try and do the self-published route, I think Ingrid's got it down. I mean, her product is engaging. Like I said, I mean, the first thing I thought of when I saw it was, you know,
yeah.
the Elf on the Shelf group. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I knew it was a totally different person. But
yeah.
I was like, you know, if you're a fan of Elf
but
on
I think
the Shelf,
those
you're going to love
yes.
the Teeth Fairies. Huh?
Yes. And I think that with characters, kids like that. And, you know, unfortunately,
yeah.
it does cost money to do that. So, you know, but, you know, sometimes if you save for something, it can be the right project. So I think that,
yeah.
you know, they put in the work, and I think that's what we'll have her on. I'm going to have her on the business show because I'm
yeah.
going to be doing that. And
well,
because
and
I think
it's,
that
it's
good.
It's fun. It's educational. It's,
yes.
you know, it's
But it's work. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I mean, there's family tradition that you can build around this. I mean, this
yes,
is just.
There's everything.
It's everything. It's everything rolled in one. And if anybody didn't catch the website, it's teethfairies.com, and there is
yeah.
information on there from the pediatric dentist about, you know, kids and getting them to the
Cute.
Dentist
yeah.
and getting over fears. There's a whole section for parents on how to use this, you know, as a family tradition. Even
yeah.
dealing with your kids who freak out about losing their teeth because, you know, I remember when my son lost his tooth. His first tooth, he was at school and he was eating lunch. And I know we were talking about that a little bit at the beginning of the show, and I didn't mention this, but he actually swallowed his first tooth, so we never even got
yeah,
his
that
first
happened.
Tooth.
I know. Right.
And he
I
freaked
know.
Out thinking that he was going to die
yeah,
from swallowing
I know.
His
I know.
Tooth.
Well, that, you know, well, then he could have written to the tooth fairy. Maybe we should talk about our other shows this week. Let's
yes.
see what's going
yes.
on. All right, I'm done this week. That's it. Tomorrow, Fran has a show at 10 a.m. with Alan Topel. She's on, and let's see. I think we're almost at the end of the week already. It's been a long week.
Right. Well, and then we have Krista Pierce, who's going to be on Monday.
Monday.
I'm like already jumping a month ahead. On March 30th. She's an author and an illustrator. She's published with HarperCollins, but she has written and illustrated the cutest book about, you know, How Much I Love You. Is the name of the book.
Yeah,
and she actually based it off her and her mother's relationship because I guess they just weren't open with saying that to each other. And it took
yeah.
them many years
to
reconcile, and they finally
yeah.
now use those words with each other. So it's a really heartfelt book
All right, that's,
expressing
yeah, that's
the importance
good.
Between parents and children saying those words
yeah.
and meaning them.
I know. That's true because a lot of people don't say that. We have... let's see, on Tuesday I have Bree Clark and Ashley Fontaine, and they're both. Bree Clark has a strategic marketing company, and she's not been on the show before, and Ashley has been on the show, so it's just the three of us we're going to talk about, and Ashley has tons of books out there, and Bree will all be discussing about a lot of these things and how to get your books out and how to get a strategy going for yourself. Because it's hard. After today, it's difficult, and I think... You know, I see what she did and the strategy, and you're right about the website. It's not just a website.
Yeah, it's not. It's not just.
It's more than
website.
That.
And
I think because,
just,
but you,
it's an engaging
right.
website.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it's really hard to make yourself unique out there when everybody and there's so many people out there. It's almost impossible to be unique. You
it
know,
is.
Even if you have an idea, then you see 50 other people, and there's no, you know, I mean, there's no way to say it other than. It's just the luck of the draw sometimes if your book makes it or doesn't. But you got to put work in and money.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, I was just last night, I was speaking to a bunch of, you know, people who want, you know, who are new to the writing, who want to become writers and published
yeah.
authors. And, you know, that was one of the things, you know, I used a lot of quotes from, you know, some of the famous, you know, big name authors out there and played a few clips of interviews with, you know, that they've done with various, you know, people for them. And the one thing that they all walked away from, they said, I had no idea how much hard work becoming
oh, yeah.
a writer was. I mean,
oh,
I heard
hard.
That over and over again.
And even,
and
it doesn't
matter.
You have to market yourself and you have to get out there. And it's
yeah.
really difficult. And there's so much out there. It's really hard to figure out I mean, we have the same problem as everybody else. I mean, I see a site, then I go, oh, this looks good. Then I see another one, and that looks good. And you really, I think what you have to do is just sit down and look over all the options, because it's there's so many.
Right. No, it's
true. And
you
have to make a plan. I don't have a plan, and I need to make one, and I'm going to. And that's what we're going to talk about maybe on one of the business shows, which I'll have her on, because I think there's no plan. I think I've always been a planned person, but I'm not planned with this, because so much has happened within the last 3 to 5 years online. You can't be planned. You don't. You go from one social marketing place to another, to this, to that, to Twitter, to Facebook. I mean, what really works?
Right. Well, and the other really good advice, too, for everybody, and I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that the Teeth Fairy thing isn't working, because I think it is, but, you know, if you are trying something and you're listening to today's show and you're a writer and you're feeling discouraged with your project, don't look back and reinvent the wheel or try and redo what you've done in the past. You just move on to the next thing and do better and learn from that experience, because that's the
other
thing,
you know. It's hard, because it's hard to figure it out, because there's so much out there, and as much as we know and as much as we've had people on shows telling us different things, I don't see the answer yet. I'm looking. I have that Sprout Media, which I think is good, and I have to concentrate on that, because that's, you put everything in there, but you have to work at it. I have to go to some of the documents and read them. You know, that's one of my problems, and you have to really just focus and get it done. But you can't just, because there's so much. It's like you and I both say, we get so much information. It's like, how do we even decipher what to do?
Well, I don't think there's really, the key thing is, I don't think there's really, well, and I know this, actually, because
I do, too. I know what you're going to say.
And I actually played a clip from an interview, and I can't remember who the editor is at Writer's Digest, but I played a clip last night from Writer's Digest, and the editor said that there is no right answer in getting your work out there or even getting published, but there are mistakes that you can make. So you just need to be aware of the mistakes.
Yeah. And you do make them,
and
no matter how much you know.
And not make them. And basically you're at the craps table.
You really are. That's what I say, the luck of the draw, and that is what it is. And, you know, and there's no two ways about it. That is the way it is. You know, no matter how many people we have on, basically – you know, and some people, you can't tell if they're doing good or not. I mean, because everybody's so worried about the Amazon. You know, I went on Amazon and I put my book for the Kindle, and it went to number 24, the children's book, but it was free, okay? And the paying didn't do nothing. So I don't really know, because they have a process. We'll see how this works, but I was way up there because it was free. So that, I'm going to see what happens now, because none of my children's books have ever been that high up. So my Isabella Pimpinella, so I don't know if that will, because they say there is a program that you do get money when they do have all of this on the KDP. So we're going to see if that even works. And it might.
Right.
So that's why I tried it with one book and see, and it was popular, very popular for 2 days. I didn't look at it today because I said, what's going to happen? It's probably down. And see, that's the whole thing. So we'll see, you know, what happens. But I think that everybody's occupied with that, and you can't help yourself, because you just can't figure out how some people get to be number 24 and some people don't. And it's really not about always the best book. It's about the best marketing sometimes.
Yeah, it's about the best marketing and dedication. I mean, if you have passion about what you're doing, and this applies to everything in life, if you're not passionate about what you're doing in life, then –
yeah,
you know, that's why we do the Family Matters show, because that's the whole point, is we want you to hear about people who are passionate about things, because it's that passion that makes life so fulfilling.
I know. It's true. And sometimes you feel like you're losing it, but that's why these shows work, you know. So I think I think that our schedule's been pretty good, and we're going to have a lot of different shows coming up, and Cassandra Dane will be back with her romance shows pretty soon, and we've got Willow Cross, who does her show with Kelly Abel and Tracy Wilson. And we have Fran Lewis, and we have RJ Jeffries, and you and me, and we have Irene and Tracy. And we have a lot of good shows. So a lot more coming up. And I think that probably what we'll do, maybe some of these, what we'll do is some of the links maybe we should be putting out more, you know, after the shows, because people don't realize that they're archived. And
yes,
you can hear them.
All of our shows are archived. So if this is the first time you've tuned into us,
You can go to blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network and find all of our different shows from family to paranormal. I mean, we cover everything on our show.
Yeah, we do.
Except politics.
We do.
We don't do politics. That's one thing we don't do, guys.
Yeah.
We don't do politics.
Well, actually, last night I didn't do politics, but we had a little political talk, you know, but
okay,
not much. But it was because, it came up because she's a, you know, celebrated, you know, journalist and award-winning. So, and she's been in Kurdistan, and she was talking about Turkey and Syria and all these countries, so it came up. But she was an excellent guest, and with Jack Remick, so it was a good show. But I think that that's what we'll probably do. We probably should replay some of these shows again for people. So maybe we'll even put them out during the summer if we have time.
Yeah.
You know, because I think people don't realize they can hear them again. Because everybody's busy these days. They're DVRing, so this is archived. Same thing.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to finish up something. I put in something the other day. I just went like, okay, fine. I can't keep watching all of this. it's too much. There's so much on. So I think that's happening. A lot of people are watching a lot more TV because they have the ability to DVR it, and so they're watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no spare time. So this is not a good thing, actually. So much spare time. Yeah, no spare time.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, everybody, and thank you, Virginia.
Thank you, and we wish everybody a great week because we're getting to the end of this week. It's amazing.
And if you have any ideas, if you have any ideas about shows, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Follow me, please.